Yeah, so we're back. You can watch us live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube for you, so feel free to jump in on the stories that we have for you. We're going to start with this story here on page three. Yeah, page three of the News National. The story reads, 2023 election may not be the best. Abdul Salami.
The New Telegraph.
The New Telegraph.
New Telegraph. Oh, what is that one? That's news, national news.
Okay.
What did they
do?
I think you deserve a vacation.
I will.
Okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty, and I'm sure people are waiting to find out what my reaction is. Now, Abdul Salami says that the 2023 elections may not be the best. I agree with him completely. I don't think, especially the younger ones, appreciate the dilemma that this country is in now, where it is virtually, as far as that goes, it is same of same. At 9 o'clock, I'm going to devote the whole 1 hour to give, you know, in very clear terms, my reactions to what took place at the APC convention. But for those who don't listen at 9 o'clock, let me quickly give you a few tips. Okay, so the APC convention went, I watched it. And if I were an employee, you know, I should be fired for having not detected the way the primaries went, because it was a burden of surprises, a burden of intrigues, a burden of backstabbing, you know. But if that is what politics is about, so be it. I do remember, though, if I'm called to a panel to explain myself, that I had said that the political party members have their own reasons for picking their candidates that have no relation to what our own reasons are. And that was very clear by what we suspect was the monetization of the primaries. I doff my hat to Ashiwaju. I had said here that he was the most rugged and most determined. And that is the lesson to all of us: if you want something, you go for it. Now, whether the reason he wants it and goes for it is in sync with other people, that's their business. He went for it and he got it. And so as far as that goes, you must doff your hat for the man. Remember that what he kept saying was that it is my turn, Emilokan, you know, that's what he kept saying. And that's why he went for it, because as we speak now, no manifesto. Some manifesto was released sometime last week, and I said, no, we're still gathering people. This is according to Bayo Onanuga. We're still trying to arrange to see how we can put together a manifesto for him. And I said, I just smiled to myself. Okay? So he didn't make any, even though he said it was the turn of the Yorubas, which it was not. If we were supposed to go by the moral side of things, it should have been the turn of the East. But hey, listen, that's neither here nor there. That's not what the delegates, I don't think they listened to anybody. I felt a lot of pity for my friend, you know, when he was giving it what I would call a first grade speech to people who were not, maybe at that time, they were only God knows what was going on. But that is the tragedy that we have, and that is what Abdul Salami is talking about. Now we are going to have a presidential election that is going to put up a president of same of same. Nigeria is not going to change. It's a pity. Peter Obi has put his hat in the ring, but I think this one I can safely say, because very few politicians are going to work for Peter Obi, and you do need them. That's the sad part. Very few politicians. All what Peter Obi is saying, it makes sense to those of us on the outside, but the people who are going to do the donkey work on the inside, that's not what they want to hear. They're all happy. I felt so sorry for the young people that were jubilating on the social media, you know, about the emergence of this gentleman. And I said to myself, well, look at it this way. That gentleman who put us on this path when he took over power sometime in the 80s, I remember telling my good friend, we were at Itiba, that all of you are jubilating now because Decree 2 is going to be knocked off. But Nigeria is not going to be the same again, and it has never been. Those who are older than me will remember that the Nigeria that we used to know, where, for example, I was telling Sheriff this morning, by the way, Sheriff, Eleyi, this is Eleyi Sheriff. I was telling him, yes, yeah,
Eleyi. I'm now Eleyi Sheriff.
Emilokan. I'm the Emilokan of Lagos. Emilokan, you are Eleyi. That's part of the fun that happened there.
Yeah.
You know, where people had values and so on and so forth and complete, no tolerance at all for crime-related matters. The Nigeria we are and we are going to go forward with either of the two candidates, because I don't see Peter Obi in reality. It'd be nice to vote for him, if anything, to make a political statement. I don't see, what is going to be different from what we have now. Indeed, what you might have when any of these two presidents emerge, any one of them emerges president, is political peace. You will have political peace. They will know how to carry people along and this and that. But whether the individuals will be better off for it, only God will tell. We need God's intervention in this country. We can't continue to go on this path. So what are we going to do in 2023? We're going to leave it to you, as far as I'm concerned. Make that choice, but be ready to live with it.
Indeed. Let's stay with the New Telegraph newspaper. This story is on page 13. It's an editorial. Our new desperation for quick riches.
Yes, I was happy that Philip brought the New Telegraph today, if for anything, for the editorial that is here, that talks about a new desperation for quick riches. You know, when you're on vacation, you have time for all kinds of jagwajanti. So, I was going through the social media, the TikTok, the parties, the showing off of wealth, throwing money around. And I said, hey, is there something wrong with us? Look at what the New Telegraph says. It says, recently, there's been a heightened desperation for wealth among the growing number of Nigerians. This has resulted in the sustained commission of different acts of criminality by some individuals cutting across all segments of the society. All. Okay, and the acts of criminality include cyber crimes, armed robbery, ritual killings, kidnapping, and terrorism. The New Telegraph is unhappy with such retrogression. The new fad in glorifying unexplained wealth is because upright work culture is increasingly being swept under the carpet. What's the implication of this? Nigerians now glorify anybody that has money, no matter where the money comes from. Anybody, even when it is quite clear, when it is apparent that this kind of money could not have come from the way this money is spent, it couldn't have been from legitimate sources. We still glorify them across the board. And that's part of what we see on the political front. As it is now, it is going to be very difficult for any patriotic Nigerian to get up to say, I want to lead my country and change it. Where's he going to get the money from? And money talks. Talk is cheap, but money, money is what we worship here. And so the Telegraph is giving us a wake-up call to say that we can't continue along this path. I know this is flogging a dead horse, really, but let it be in history that some of us were able to, to raise the alarm that we can't continue to glorify money and identify with the New Telegraph on this. And I hope you find time to read the editorial. It's on page 13 of the New Telegraph. If you can't find it, then if you go to the social media, I'm sure it is there, A New Desperation for Quick Riches. It is an editorial that will set you thinking.
Indeed. Now, we're going to drop the New Telegraph. Let's go for the punch. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's what you need to search for on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, and drop your comment. The Punch has a story on the page 4. Customer, friends, lynch, burn Lagos sex worker for keeping Quran in room.
When I saw this story on the metro section, hidden, virtually, when I say hidden, this would have been a front page story because the implications are far-reaching. Now, this is happening in Lagos. Okay, this story, the prostitute's name is Hannah Saliu, and she was beaten to death. What happened? She had a customer. When the customer left, she discovered that 5,000 naira was missing in her room. Now, this is in Lagos. And the customer now mobilized his friends for them to search the prostitute's room. Okay? For the missing money. While searching the place, they found the Quran under the pillow of this prostitute. And because of that, they raised an alarm and they beat her to death and burnt her in Lagos.
Alabarago.
Alabarago in Lagos. Now, I don't know why, there must be a reason why the Punch in writing this story keeps talking about Northerners. I don't know why. I think that sensitivity would have determined, they would have said they would just write the story as it is and leave you to find out. But they keep talking about Northerners. And they also talk about the incident happened at Alabarago, where a lot of Northerners reside. This is not patriotic journalism. If you haven't written other stories by saying that they are Southerners or from the East or from the West, why do you have to keep laying emphasis? Where I'm going is, you can now see what has been planted in the minds of our people that is dividing us constantly. I think that this was a bit insensitive, and the Punch needs to watch out for things like that. I understand what they're trying to say. I understand perfectly, and I'm sure you understand. But I usually say, Sherif, that in public speaking, there are some things that you don't say that have, you know, heavier implications.
Yeah, far-reaching.
Far-reaching implications than what you have said.
That's right.
So to now say, quote somebody who said that this is what happened where Northerners reside, I think is unfortunate. But it says that the girl that was killed also came from the North. This story has been confirmed by the police
in Lagos,
and we heard that the cases that the Panti CID and the three suspects have been charged to court, and that the incident happened in April. Now we'd like to call on the governor. He's the chief. What would he be now? Chief security officer.
Yes, chief security officer. But
we need to nip this kind of thing in the bud. This is the second of its kind.
You know, my question is that why hasn't there been an outcry?
Of what?
Over this.
Outcry by who?
By the people.
We
had the outcry of the one that happened in Abuja. We had the outcry of the one that happened in Sokoto. But this...
Well, I mean, I'm seeing this for the first time.
I am seeing it too for the first time.
And so,
it's almost like it never happened. And when I saw it earlier this morning, I was like,
Oh, you picked it.
I was like, in Lagos, how come nobody heard about this?
I think you see, part of the sensitivity is this issue of course, I don't believe she should be beaten or whatever. You can put your book wherever. Maybe she uses it for protection, when she's finally sleeping. I don't know about that. I mean, the propriety of that. But I don't think it should have lent to her being burnt and so on and so forth. But you can also see from the way the story is written that it's almost like as if it is not our business. It is their business.
Their business.
And it is unfortunate. I understand the sentiments that people do have. But at the end of the day, these things divide this country further. It divides us further. And I'm not given... I believe that if we were fair to all, there's no reason why Nigeria cannot exist as one nation. I think we are better off as one nation. In any case, the moment you divide this country, you're going to split it all the way down. Such that if you are not careful, Yabawi Igbo will be a state... Lagos Island will be another state with the bridge in between being a free zone and stuff like that. I believe that if we want to split this country, it will go down the line. But the truth is, I believe also that especially the elite have changed the mindset of our people to fester their own whatever. And you can now see a primaries of an election of both, we hear that both had money involved. In fact, we heard the APC one had something like $5,000 per person. I refuse to believe that figure. It frightens me. But the kind of money, there were videos. The irony of it all was that the EFCC were, what they were doing there, I honestly don't know.
They were checking bags.
They were checking bags for what? Nobody's
for brings, money.
You don't bring money. Oh no, sorry, I'm sorry.
You know, those ones will now pack money inside Ghana was going. I'll be bringing
a good one of the. We will get to talk about these primaries very soon.
One of the things
I thought was that the security agencies would be able to trace some of this money. Somebody would have brought the money to Abuja to distribute to the delegates. How come he didn't know who that pen is?
No,
and just grab him for money laundering. You know that those kind of things. Okay, if the president had the favored candidate, which he said he had, he would push that favored candidate, you know, well, at least he would let everybody know, and so on and so forth. Then the seeming silence. And one of the big surprises is that I was even surprised that Amaechi had more votes than even the VP.
The VP.
And look at the way money is just being thrown around in Nigeria, for crying out loud. Somebody with the old bank took 100 million to go and ended up with no vote. I don't understand it. Not one vote.
It's investment.
Investment in what?
To be
able. There were so many of them, even some of those who were stepping down. We understand the governor, maybe one or two governors, whatever. We know the way some of these things go. We have a fair idea. We have our thinking, at least I can safely say that. But for some individuals, you ask yourself, so what was it all about? So look at our attitude to money and to, you know, the elite have ruined this country. In all honesty, the political and the majority of it I lay at the hands at whatever of that gentleman who had taken over. About the kids who were born in that era now are in their 30s and 40s. That's why some of them don't see what we are seeing, and I don't blame them. I saw them jubilating in the social media, poking fun at some of us who had been in the struggle to try and make a better Nigeria for them. But you needed to see some of the insults that were thrown at me, you know, because my stand on the candidate was very clear. I didn't hide it. I put it up front. But I give credit to that man. That man is a fighter. For his own cause, because the bulk of what he kept saying was that it's my turn, is this and that. God bless Awolowo. The day the government lifted the ban on politics, way back then, Awolowo already had a manifesto in his hand. God bless him. Awolowo. So even though we were asking for a Nigerian who is determined and so on and so forth, we should have added that we want somebody who is thinking of the better Nigeria, not just because it is his own time. But that's the way it goes. That's who we are. And we should all be ready for the circumstances of these things that we are doing.
Okay.
For the consequences. For the consequences of the things that we are doing. It's very clear. Very clear.
All right. Let's move on to the New Telegraph again. Page 27 is where we are today. FG sets code of practice for Facebook, Twitter, others.
Here we go again, because the truth of the matter is that the practice of all these things are borderless. The last time there was a ban on Twitter, people were able to use VPN. I think that I haven't had time to read this code of practice, so I can't comment on it in detail. But I am hoping, I can understand where part of the worry is on both sides of the divide.
Okay.
Any adult would be worried about what the social media is doing to Nigeria. Any adult would be. But also, practitioners are worried that the federal government could use this opportunity to gag a free press, a free and vibrant press. But the part that makes me chuckle is that these things are above, they are beyond borders.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can practice this. You can practice your trade. You can just go across the border to Benin Republic and run your whatever it is. We need to take a far more reaching general decision on some of these things. Like I said, last time I was in Dubai, I think you couldn't access YouTube. You can't make WhatsApp calls, and so on and so forth. A more general attitude to these things would make more sense to me than trying to rein in operators of Facebook, Twitter, and so on and so forth. Don't push people to the trenches. It's not going to do you any good. Don't think that you can scare people and pushing them to the trenches. Some people can go across the border and do the needful, you know, and get the needful done. But let's see how it goes. These primaries, whatever, has overshadowed. Now, one of the things that we'll need to back again to the primaries, sorry, before we go, is that between you and I and all our other practitioners in the media, what are the issues now that we'll have to bring up to guide people on who to vote for? Like a famous lawyer chuckled to me about 2 days ago, we will not talk about the issue of corruption, definitely, there's no need. So what are the issues that will crop up to help guide our people that, okay, of these two choices? Because Peter Obi says the right things, whether he does them, whether he can do them.
It's another thing entirely.
Right. And remember that even if he does that, which National Assembly is he going to work with? Who's going to pass his budget? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that?
He's not going to walk alone.
So I suspect very strongly that we are going to be left with these two gentlemen. So in trying to pick one of them,
right,
what are the issues that we are going to be bringing up? What are they about the same
very
page?
Vital. I mean, campaigns should be issue-based.
It should be issue-based.
Completely issue-based.
I think that we are done with searching for character, background checks, and so on and so forth. Though I hear that there's going to be a lot of dirty fighting in public.
Oh.
That would just be entertainment.
It has started, actually. I've started seeing some documents.
Yes. But it's not going to be a decider. Because we are between the rock. Between the rock and a hard place. I don't think that. So, okay, of the two choices that we now have, I don't want to say this because of you, but of the two choices that we now have, we now need to guide our people to say that, okay, this is what. None of them have a manifesto on ground. In spite of the Article 2 has been. This is like.
I think he has released his own manifesto.
Okay, it's the other gentleman that denied his own. That would be nice to know. Nice to know. But we haven't. I thought that. I was hoping, fervently praying. That we would have some kind of a new beginning.
Yeah.
But it's business as usual.
But some people seem to think that this will mark a new beginning.
It cannot.
They are saying that these individuals, they have the clout, they have the wherewithal, they have the machinery.
We don't need the clout, we don't need the wherewithal. We just need to go by the antecedent.
So that's what it's saying. Like,
it's antecedent.
They would bring in a new Nigeria, either of them. That's what people have said.
Let me safely put it this way, that I hope that either of them will spring a surprise by doing a U-turn from what has been Nigeria's perception of them in the past.
Okay.
Let me repeat what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always go rewind it on Facebook and YouTube. That they will do it. What was the word I used? Let me go to Tigba. There'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
And a turnaround from what they had been doing in the past.
What they are known for.
What they are known for the antecedents. I am hoping that would happen. I am hoping that either of them will be saying, look, gentlemen, because the politicians who put these two people there have placed their hope on them to redeem them. Most of them probably didn't get their way during the Buhari era. You know, some of them claim they've been in Ramadan and Lent combined and biri 24 hours, nothing. Because this is going to be a good season for them. That's why they're running around. They're happy. It's a good season for them. But what does it mean to those of us who are not politicians and on the outside? What you're going to have is you're going to have loads of more hustlers. You know, everybody's struggling for this contract, this one. Then the two of them have the capacity to carry people along. That's why I say that there'll be less turmoil politically. But whether it will be a better time for Nigerians, only time will tell.
We must go now. We have to go. It's good to have you back. Welcome back.
I'm glad to
be back. I miss you too. A whole lot.
But I brought some
food. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thank God.
If tomorrow you're walking past the reception and the reception just gets you more than twice, hold me responsible.
Lagos, you have to go. Thank you so much for coming around.
Okay, I'll see you all at 9.
At 9, that's right. Okay. The news is next at the top of the hour.
They don't disconnect your line. Sick of say you not link your national identification number.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's